I'll have some more introductory remarks later on this morning, but given the time that we have this morning, I want us to go ahead and get started. And I want us just to begin by asking this question. How would you like to live in a family where the people in the family could be described with words like these? Discourteous, impolite, ill-mannered, rude, tactless, insulting, surly, crabby, bad-tempered. Doesn't sound like a lot of fun, does it? But now, look at this other home over here and see if this one sounds a little bit better. Here, the people are more like this. Courteous, gracious, polite, mannerly, tactful, gentle, considerate, agreeable, cheerful. Sounds like a better home, doesn't it? That's the one that I would like to live in. What's the secret to having a happy home? What's the secret to the people within the home developing qualities like this? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And let's read together verses 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 3. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The key or the secret to having a happy home is to soak up just as much wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God's Word as we possibly can. And that's the key, right? And there are just an abundance of passages that describe the qualities that we need to have in the home. Passages that will help us become more of what God wants us to be. Now, this morning, we want to talk about one of these qualities in particular. We're this morning going to emphasize courtesy in the home. Courtesy is going to be the subject of our lesson today. I'm sure you've heard the expression or the phrase, common courtesy. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not as common as it used to be. And if you look around for very long, you can tell that. And I'm not just talking about teenagers. Sometimes we want to pick on them and act as if they're the only culprits. There's just a lack of common courtesy throughout a number of different age groups today. We're basically going to divide the lesson up into two parts. We're going to begin, first of all, talking about courteous speech and what all is involved in that. We'll break that down into quite a bit of detail. And then the second part of the lesson, we'll focus on courteous conduct. So courteous speech and then courteous conduct. Courteous speech, there's a lot of different things we could put under this category, but the first thing I want us to talk about is we just need to learn to choose more carefully the words we use with one another. Let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And if you've studied James before, you know that this section right here is all about the tongue. In fact, the subject of verses 1 through 12 is the control of the tongue. James chapter 3, let's pick up though with verse 9. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. The same tongue that just got through blessing him now is being used to curse others who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Usually we do a pretty good job when we're talking to God or talking about God. We're very careful then with the words we choose, right? But now if we're talking to others or talking about others, we're not near as careful. Now, the cursing that he's talking about here, he's not necessarily just talking about profanity here. He's talking about just speaking ill of others, speaking evil of others. It doesn't have to be what we typically consider profanity. We're careful when we speak to God, but we're not near as careful sometimes when we're talking about others or talking to others. That's when we can become very uncourteous in our speech. Look also in 1 Peter 3, in verse 7. This passage will really explain how serious a matter this can really be. 1 Peter 3, in verse 7, you'll notice right off the bat, this one's addressed to husbands. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And then look at the reason that's given in that very last phrase, that your prayers may not be hindered. So it tells the husbands, now you better treat your wife the way you're supposed to, or your communication with God is going to be cut off. Your prayers are going to be hindered. Now, since we're talking particularly about speech right now, we'll say now, unless you talk the way that you're supposed to your wife, you're not going to get to talk to God. Can we not make that point? Is that not an application from this passage? And so it's very important that we choose carefully the words we use with one another. Learn to practice courteous speech. Now, let's say we've got a problem with this. Okay, we start looking at ourselves and I need a lot of help in that area. I'm not doing what I ought to do. Well, where's the problem? If I'm not speaking courteously, where should I look for the root problem? Well, if you've read through the New Testament, you probably already know the answer to that. If our speech is not what it should be, the problem is in the heart. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Let's all turn over there and read together from that chapter. Matthew 12. Let's begin there with about verse 33. Matthew 12, beginning in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the way we talk is really a reflection of what's in our hearts. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And so it's important that we learn to talk the way we're supposed to talk. And it's important for us to have, first of all, the right attitude toward God, because it all begins there. But then it's also important that we have the right attitude toward those within our family. And when I say family, I mean our fleshly family and our spiritual family. And even beyond that, have the right attitude toward mankind in general. Because if our attitude is what it ought to be, then our speech will be what it ought to be. Now, again, when we think about courteous speech, there's really a lot of different categories that can fall under that general category of courteous speech. And so let's just break that down a little bit further. First of all, gracious speech. This is one of the things that ought to characterize our speech. And again, it comes under that general heading of courteous speech. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Look there in verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. Now, what would be some synonyms for gracious? Well, we know courteous would be one of them since we've put it under that heading. But some other synonyms, some other words very much like gracious would be kind, friendly, pleasant, appreciative, complimentary. That's the kind of speech, really, that ought to characterize Christians. Children, when your parents ask you a question, there is a polite way to answer, isn't there? There is a courteous way to answer that question. Now, you can be surly and you can be crabby, but you know that's not right. You know there's a much more polite, a much more gracious way to answer your parents. Can we not learn to say please? That's part of gracious speech, isn't it? Instead of demanding things, we learn to say please. When somebody does something for us or says something nice to us, what should be the immediate response? Thank you. That's part of gracious speech. That's part of courteous speech. And again, maybe we've got this down like we should, but I'm just suspecting that all of us could at least stand some improvement in these areas. Do we compliment other people in the family? You know, there's the old joke told about, the husband that told his wife that he loved her and he didn't say it again for, 25, 30 years, and somebody said something to him about it. He said, well, if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know. You know, just said it one time and that was enough. And that kind of works across the board. You know, we give a compliment. You know, one of the biggest things we worry about sometimes, we don't want anybody to get too proud now. We don't want them to develop too much of an ego. Well, yeah. If we start flattering people to no end, yeah, that can happen. But we just need to compliment each other. Sometimes people really need that. That keeps them going, keeps them encouraged, keeps them doing the good things that you commended them for in the first place. So let's make sure we learn to do that. Look in Proverbs 22 and verse 11. Proverbs 22. Let's just back up one book. In Proverbs 22 and verse 11, it says, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Really, the underlying principle here is you're going to widen greatly your sphere of influence when you learn to speak graciously. There are people that want to be around you. There are people who want to hear what you've got to say because you speak in a manner that commands their attention. They respect the manner in which you teach. As he says here, even kings will be your friend. And so we're in a much better position to influence more people when we learn to speak graciously. Here's another category that falls again under that general heading of courteous speech, and that would be tactful speech. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. We all understand that there are some words that just don't fit certain occasions or certain people. In other words, sometimes we may actually say what needs to be said. It's just that we pick the awfulest time possible to say it. Okay? And again, wisdom would dictate that we put some thought at least into saying the right thing, but also choosing the right time to say it. Look in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's go back to the New Testament now. And really a very similar principle, just brought out in a different way here. Here Paul, writing by inspiration, says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Season with salt. You make it more palatable to them. And so the question really that should enter our minds quite frequently is this the right thing to say right now? That's the key question. Is this the right thing to say right now? Tactful speech is part of gracious speech. It's part of courteous speech. Another category of speech, gentle speech, certainly should characterize those who are courteous by nature. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. Let's look beginning with verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. There's a time when gentleness is especially important, and that is when correction is needed. Look in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, it's interesting that that's who he addresses, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, I don't want to leave the wrong impression here. So I want to say right here that there are times when rebukes need to be sharp. There are times when gentleness has to be put aside and we use sharpness instead. Titus chapter 1 and verse 14 talks about some who needed to be rebuked sharply. Now, I've given some sharp rebukes before, and I don't regret them to this day. I've been on the receiving end of some sharp rebukes, and I needed them, and I'm thankful for them. Might not have been as thankful as I should have been then, but I'm thankful now. And so there's a time and a place for those. But that's not what should characterize us in general. Typically, we ought to be gentle people, okay? That's really what should dominate, you know, the way we deal with other people. Now, again, there are times when it's going to have to be administered a little bit more sharply than that. Another category of speech is peaceful speech. Certainly that would come under, again, that heading, that general heading of courteous speech. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Notice we keep going back to Proverbs quite a bit because there's a lot said about the tongue in this particular book. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It takes two people at least to tangle. Okay? It takes at least two people for there to be a fight. But now if one of them can stay calm, and if one of them can continue to answer softly and not get all hot and bothered, what happens to that situation eventually? If one of them stays calm, that situation gets diffused pretty quickly, doesn't it? And so we've got to learn to be peacemakers, to speak in a peaceful way. Just because that other person's getting all hot and bothered doesn't mean we need to keep up with them. We've got to stay calm and bring some peace to that situation. Look also in Romans 12 and verse 18. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Here again, Paul writing says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I want to go ahead and answer a question that might come into the minds of some of you on all this business about speech and especially what's said here in Romans 12 and verse 18. Somebody might be asking the question, does this include in-laws? And the answer is, absolutely it does. It absolutely does. You know as well as I do, sometimes we've got this circle of people And we're very courteous to them. And anybody outside that circle, you know, well, we're not quite as courteous to them. But if you start examining yourself and if you're honest with yourself, sometimes we're forced to admit the people that we're the nicest to and the most courteous with are the people that are doing the most for us. And that's not really the way it's supposed to work, right? Okay? So we need to make sure that we live peaceably with all men, including in-laws. Sometimes you know that we say things just to agitate other people. Okay? Now, again, should that be the makeup of a Christian? Should that be their mindset? I want to say something just to get them going, just to. Now, I know sometimes we do it in complete fun. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes we know we're stirring the pot. Well, why would we want to do that? As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Look at one of the qualifications for elders. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. So now why are we reading about qualifications for elders? Well, because many of those character qualifications for elders are qualifications for any Christian. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 3 says, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome. Not quarrelsome. In other words, you're not the type of person that likes to pick a fight. You don't picket people with the words that you say. You're not that quarrelsome person. All right, another category of speech, going on further here, edifying speech. Again, would fall under that heading of courteous speech. Ephesians 4 in verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. The question to ask is, okay, the way I talk to the folks in my family, does it tear them down or does it build them up? And I want to make a point here, and this applies to me as much as anybody else. I've always enjoyed the form of humor known as sarcasm. Like it. Like to hear other people use it. But you know, sarcasm can get out of hand sometimes. It really can. We can overdo it. Sometimes people don't get it. They don't understand that you're using sarcasm. And they're just hurt by it. They're hurt by it. Far from edifying them, we've actually torn them down. And so we just need to work on using the type of speech that builds others up. Another category of speech. How about wholesome speech? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Here are some things that ought never to characterize the way we talk. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And then look in Colossians, just a couple of books over. Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Unwholesome speech, the kind that's described in these two passages, will drag a family down into the gutter. And that's not where a family belongs. Family, the way they talk within that home, it needs to stay up here, above, way above the world standards. But you know the way it works sometimes is as the world standard, you know, goes lower. Okay, we go a little bit. You know, we try to stay as close to that. Now, we know that we need to be better than the world. But instead of just sticking true to God's standard and staying right there, as the world goes down, we go a little bit down. Now, we're still above it. We're still not quite as bad. But that's not the way we ought to think. We know the way that God wants us to talk, and it's not in the way that these two passages describe. And then finally, one other category we'll look at, and this kind of brings us full circle to the way we started with this particular subject, is controlled speech. James chapter 1 and verse 26. James chapter 1 and verse 26 really speaks to the importance of bridling or controlling the tongue. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And again, sometimes just take the time to read all of James 3, 1 through 12. Because that's what that passage is all about. It talks about the tongue. It's a real small member of your body, but it can sure do a lot of damage. And so we need to bring it under control, and we need to use it in the way that we've been talking about with all of these different categories. Now, let's go on and talk about courteous conduct in the time that we have left. Some synonyms for courteous, just to kind of give us an idea of the type of behavior that is meant by courteous behavior or courteous conduct. Courteous means polite, attentive, considerate, mannerly, helpful, respectful. Now, you can probably think of some ways that that can be demonstrated right off the bat. But now let's look at some passages that will hopefully kind of help us understand this even better. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll just take these one by one and say just a word or two about each one. 1 Corinthians 13. Beginning there in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not behave rudely. Love is kind. Again, those all fall into what we're talking about here with courteous conduct. Look in Romans 15. Romans 15, beginning with verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Now, we're applying it especially within the home today. Let each of you please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Whose example are you following when you do things that please others? When you do things that make others in your family feel good or feel comfortable? When you do things for people in your family that let them know that you care about them, whose example are you following when you do all of those things? You're following the example of Jesus Christ. That's the way he acted. That's the way he behaved around people. And again, we're called to be like him in every area, including the one that we're talking about. Can you imagine Jesus Christ being discourteous? Can you imagine Jesus Christ being rude? Can you imagine Jesus Christ being disrespectful? Can you imagine Jesus Christ giving no consideration to the needs of those around him? Of course not. He was courteous from beginning to end. And again, that's what we're called upon to do. Look in Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. You know, we talked about trying to examine some of the root causes earlier, and we talked about how the heart is certainly the problem. But you know, one of the things that Jesus is very clear about, that he wants everyone who is going to follow him to do, is to crucify ourselves. And usually, when we're having problems in this area and so many other areas, it's really because we never ever really did that. We never ever really did crucify ourselves. We still got ourselves pretty much up there. I mean, we still got ourselves kind of in the center of things. And the teaching of the Bible is take yourself out of the center in honor giving preference to one another. That's the attitude of heart that will allow for courteous speech and courteous conduct. Philippians chapter 2 also speaks to all of this. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Again, let's make sure we apply that in the family. Matthew chapter 7, in verse 12. This one, I guess, probably says it about as well as any. Matthew 7, in verse 12. This is the passage we sometimes refer to as the golden rule. And it's pretty golden, all right. Jesus speaking says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That says it, doesn't it? You ever gotten upset with anyone for really being kind and courteous and gracious toward you? Have you ever told anybody, I wish you would stop that, I'm sick of that? Kind of enjoy it, don't you? Kind of nice. That's the way we like to be treated, and so that's the manner in which we should treat others. You know, one of the most courteous actions that we can take, and this one's real easy. It doesn't even involve, we don't even have to move a muscle. Don't have to say a word. And it's listening. I'm afraid that's just becoming a lost art. It's a skill that fewer and fewer people seem to possess. Listen to people. Somebody's talking, just get. But you know how it works a lot of times is we can't stand it. I mean, we can't let them get through because we're so anxious to get what we want to say out there. You know, they may be saying something funny, but I've got something funnier. They may be saying something interesting, but boy, I'll tell you, I've got something more interesting. And so we never, ever really hear what they've got to say. We've either butted in or the whole time we're thinking about what we're going to say in response. Listening is a very courteous action. Children, helping out around the house, you want to make your parents feel good? Volunteer to do something. Really? I know as a young person you're thinking, how can I be like Jesus? What are some things that I can do in following? And really, it's as simple as that. That's a courteous action. That's imitating your Savior because you're doing something with the interest of your parents in mind. You're sacrificing some time of yours in order to help them out. That's a very courteous thing to do. And they will appreciate it very much. And so, again, what underlies all of this is the need to be more like Jesus Christ. To practice both courteous speech and courteous conduct. Appreciate your attention very much.